The New Testament comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, just four verses. He sat down opposite the treasury, Jesus this is, and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums, but a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading of his holy word. We've spent the last 2 weeks, and now into the third, with my sermon stewardship series, addressing a building in progress. The very first week, we talked about how important it is to have the right foundation. The second week, we talked about how the structure needs support. Because the reality is strong and true. If you have a great foundation, but you don't have anything around it, it's just potential. It's just a good intention. But if we reach out to each other and build each other up and hold each other accountable, help one another in times of challenge, pray for each other in good and bad, and come together to worship, we have the beginning of a structure with the right support. We pray, of course, these weeks for those affected by the storm, and we think about how we might come together to help them, reaching out our hands and our feet to do so. This week's lesson, though, slows us down a little bit. Because have you ever seen a house being built? Or maybe perhaps you had the privilege of buying a house that you designed or had part, you know, of the choices of what it looks like, and you can see the walls being erected and the foundation being laid and everything kind of coming together. Have you ever seen anything like that? Maybe your neighbor across the street had a house built. If you actually watch the building, one of the most incredible things to watch is our friends over in Lancaster, because when they build, it's fantastic. They can erect a whole church in one day. They have it down to a science. They go out there and they, you know, put the wood together and they assemble it, and next thing you know, it's built. It's there. There's a church, like, in one day. But then they get inside. And inside the building actually seems to take forever. It's like you watch the house and, like, there's people going in and out. You know, the electricians have their little bag, and, you know, the cable people have their little bag. And then next thing you know, you have the people that are doing the details, the painting and the construction and the lines and all that kind of stuff. And it's pretty amazing because it takes a long time to do the inside details. My parents actually have a living story of this. My mom was diagnosed back in 2007 with a heart valve problem. And she had to have emergency heart surgery, which is ironic because my dad had to have the same thing this past year. But when they heard that, they lived in a home that had really steep stairs that went up to her bedroom. And they also had stairs that came into the house from the outside. And so the doctor said, "Whoa, if you don't have a bedroom on the first floor, you got to move." And so not only does he have to schedule emergency surgery for my mom, but my dad had to sell their house and find another one and move. And it was kind of amazing, actually, because it all fell together. It all worked out. They were able to get into their house. But sure enough, as soon as they got in the house, the plumbing stopped working. And so the builder had to put them up in a hotel and bring in all these people. And they ripped up the grass and they redid the plumbing. And do you get what I'm talking about? The inside of the church can be messy. And it can take a lot of work. I think about, you know, athletes that trained for the Olympics. Did you guys watch any of the Olympics? I know it's been a while now. We've had a lot of things happen since then, but it was pretty amazing. I mean, I happen to love Michael Phelps. I don't know about you. But have you ever seen the amount of food he can eat in one day? I mean, when he's actually rehearsing, and or not rehearsing, training, thank you. He can eat, like, I mean, they showed a picture of it online. It was like, whoosh, you know, it was like all these hamburgers and french fries and milkshakes. I mean, he can eat whatever he wants because he works out for 8 hours a day at such a pace that he burns off anything he possibly puts inside of him. I heard he's not going to compete in the next Olympics, and I'm kind of sad. But I know some people that knew him when he was just a brand new swimmer. And he had flaws. He didn't do it that wonderfully well when he first started swimming. He was a little kid. He had to practice a long time. He had to learn discipline. He had to learn how to breathe and how to do his stroke the way that it worked with his own body to be a certain way. It's the same way with any profession we have. I mean, to be a good pastor, you should have seen me way back when I was first a seminary intern. Poor Kathy, she like shines so much, and I'm embarrassed to think about what I was like. I mean, I was so nervous. I would get up here, I would just shake the whole time. My papers would go, you know, I mean, I was so nervous. And I don't know what you were like when you first started maybe your first job or your first attempt at a career, but I imagine you needed training. Even if you're a grandmother, even if you're a mom or a dad or a friend, we learn that it's as painstakingly difficult. Those of you that are married, you can come up here and talk to me about how hard it is sometimes to be a spouse, right? But the same thing goes for our faith. You can't just wake up one day and everything fits together really nice. The way the Bible teaches us about faith is it's a lifelong journey. You will grow in your understanding of the Bible every day more and more than you did before. You can't just say after confirmation in the Presbyterian tradition, oh, I'm done. I don't have to ever go back to church again. I don't have to open up a Bible because I did my confirmation. No, it doesn't fly. Because you need to develop your own understanding of God through a theology that is yours. You need to question and doubt and struggle and wrestle with what God has in mind for you. And it changes every single year sometimes what God wants you to do for him. Let's go to the Bible passage for a second, the one in Mark in particular. Who is the steward in the story? Is it the ones that are coming up to the treasury in front of everybody else with, I think of them with, in my head, like with bars of gold, you know, and they're like, oh, I got it. But all my evidence that I'm giving into the treasury. Here we go. Everybody see me? Do you see me? I got my bars of gold and I'm putting them in. Look at me. Are they the stewards? I mean, they got bars of gold, right? They got money, tons of money, and they're giving it to the church. Sure. Deep down, yeah, they're stewards. They're giving what they have to give, right? But the real steward, the one that Jesus lifts up, is the story of the widow. The one whose husband had died, and obviously she had no sons or brothers-in-law or sons-in-law to take care of her. And so she has nothing. And yet something happened inside of her heart where she went up to the treasury and put her little coins in. Does anybody use pennies anymore? Do you? Oh, God bless you, Wendy. How about I give you all of mine? No, I'm just kidding. I have a million pennies, and I need to count them all up and take them to a bank and have them roll them or something, but I don't use pennies. I mean, most of the time, it's like, you know, $10.05 or 25 cents, or you put quarters into the meter. I don't even use a payphone anymore, right? So, I mean, sometimes you use a credit card to pay for your parking space. I mean, have you ever seen that? You even pay, if you have Easy Pass, right? You stick it on. You don't even get coins then. So I hardly use any coins, let alone a penny. And when you think about the value of an American penny, what is it? It's not worth very much. So can you see yourself walking up to the treasury, right? And you got your penny. Here, everybody, look at me. I'm putting my penny in. Here we go. Ching! But if you've ever seen anybody give out of poverty to somebody else, it's absolutely amazing. We call it the widow's mite because she gave all that she had to give, and the reason she gave was for love. When we come to the time of giving, it's an awkward time. I don't want to tell you how to give because that's really between you and God. But I will tell you that on the inside of you, it needs work. We all need work. And how you work on that is to be committed to sharing all that you have. And if you do that out of love, and you give to the Lord what you have to give, you're investing in the church. Do you ever dream about Cornerstone? You guys aren't the pastor, so I don't know if you do, but I find myself waking up in the morning and I've had a dream about Cornerstone. And it was amazing. We had a big church and there were tons of people there and there were little kids running around everywhere and left and right and people were, praising God and we had tons of people in the choir and we had tons of people on the tech team so that James didn't have to step in every week. We had, it was treasurers. We had, people running up to Gordon saying, I'll be treasurer, right? In my dream of the church. And in that dream, I'm actually sitting in the way, way back where Okoro is. And I have gray hair. And I'm wearing flats, not heels. And I'm looking up at the new pastor, Julia Caperso. I dream about what the investment I give to this church could bring about. When we give out of love and when we give all we have to give, the Lord will bless us. When we go to the passage that apparently I threw upon Farron to read at the last minute, Malachi, you might not know a lot about him, and I'm almost done. I know precious time is going away. But not many people know about Malachi. He's one of those people in the Bible that kind of doesn't really get known. But he was spectacular. He was trying to raise money for a building project. Anybody think about that ever for Cornerstone, right? And he was talking about money, but he was saying that money's not really the deal. Because if we know God, right? There's that expression from the Bible that says nothing is impossible with God, right? If he really wanted your money, don't you think God would just take it? Jesus points to this woman in the story and the widow's mite and is watching her. He's watching everyone. And in some ways, that kind of feels intimidating because, whoa, God's watching my every move, right? And he's watching me give my money. But he's not watching as a curse or a judgment. He's watching because he cares. And the woman gave, and she trusted, and God blessed it. And it says in this Malachi story that if we bring forth our tithes and our offerings and we don't cheat the Lord, if we give him what is ours to give sacrificially, that there will be blessings in abundance. And I want you to think about it, that just as the God watches the widow's mite, he sees each of us for all that we are and all that we do. And he is smiling down upon Cornerstone and the dream of what we can be for now and forevermore. Amen.